Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply. Welcome. And today we've got Mike Allen from Cambria Private Capital. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, Tom. Nice to be here.
Pleasure to have you on as a guest. So before we went live, you were explaining to me what you do and how it works. You've been working in the car industry, the auto industry, your whole career. And now you're involved in running a private fund. So perhaps the best place to start is to run through what you're doing and who you're trying to work with and who you're trying to help.
Yeah, of course. So I guess my career, I was mainly in financial services, and the vast majority of my career, I started as an institutional fund manager at UBS over 25 years ago, but most of my career I was an investment banker, and a lot of my clients were in the automotive industry, so that's where I learned about the industry. I've been a board advisor, non-exec, to a number of businesses. My first one was Carwow 15 years ago. I worked with Bumper as a board advisor, which did a Series B last year. DSG Finance, which is a large UK car finance broker, and I sit on the supervisory board at AAA in the Czech Republic. But in terms of my project at Cambria Private Capital, so Cambria was one of my former clients when it was listed on the stock market, and the business has grown and diversified. It started as a dealership business where it would buy distressed assets in the last financial crisis. It was very good at that. It grew scale into the business. That business now has three different brands. It's got a premium brand called Grange, where it works across a number of luxury brands such as Rolls-Royce, Lamborghini, Aston Martin, etc. It's got Invicta Motors, which it works with Mazda, MG, and some of the new entrants from China, like Jaecoo, Moda, and Chery. It's got a used car supermarket, and it's also got Sogo Mobility, which is a fleet business, and Ramp, which is a repair and maintenance business. The business is very profitable. It's also got a property portfolio with that as well. So the board wanted to have an investment arm as well, and we've been looking at that for the last 18-24 months. The idea is to support fledgling businesses that might help us with vertical integration. It will typically be clever software businesses where we can see the value that they're being added, because we're a customer. But also, if there's an investment opportunity, we can invest on the back of that and help them to get from, you know, A to B, based on predetermined objectives that we'd set together.
Okay. So how does that fit into the types of businesses that you're looking to work with? You're looking to work with those businesses that you just kind of went through. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be mutual, really, in that there's various forms of capital around. Some of the more institutional forms of capital may well say, well, here's the money, you've got the expertise, go and deliver our predetermined returns, and we'll be quite hands-off. For us, we feel that sweat equity is quite important, so we want to help founders get to the next level. Our investment committee, of which I'm part of, but we've got vast experience. So we've got over 150 years of industry experience. So I'm the day-to-day guy that they'd work with, but I'm also leaning on our founder, chief exec, has got over 40 years experience. The originals FD of the group has been in the industry for, 50 years. And then we've got, vast legal experience. And one of the non-execs, Michael Burt, has got his own PE funds. So I'm able to use some of my experience, but also use the experience of the investment committee to help these businesses.
And what is the model that you typically use? Is it a traditional PE model?
So what we're looking for are businesses that are generating revenue. So they've proven their MVP and they're typically revenue generating. But there's a predetermined capital need that will help them scale. So we can see that the business is successful. We're testing it. So I have to get what's called operational sponsorship as well. So the operators would see a need for this. The guys doing the day-to-day business and validate the businesses that we find. And the idea is we're creating a win-win in that, one where we're giving them sweat equity support advice, we're giving them capital, and we're investing on a real operational need that we can see in one or more of our businesses.
And can you give an example, real life or hypothetical, that demonstrates what you're saying there?
Yeah, so there's businesses so I'll give you an example. There is, we feel there's a need for EV, for used EVs. Looking at battery certification is quite important because we feel that that will give consumers confidence in the used EV market. And we've worked with a business called Generational. That's got very good technology, and when we introduced it to one or two of our sites, that sold a high proportion of EV vehicles, the other sites started to say, well, why can't we have access to this? This is making the customer journey easier and better, etc. So that's an example where the operators really needed that in terms of giving them the data that they can show the customers that battery degradation isn't as high as, is perceived. There's data behind that. We've worked with chatbot businesses as well that we put on our website to enhance customer journeys. And we're looking at all kinds of the value chain at the moment, businesses that can assess damage on vehicles. And so, we're not the traditional VC where we will act quickly and on instinct. It does take time for technology systems to be embedded, and the operational support is, the operational sponsorship is very important because it gives a validation of does it actually work or not, and let's see how the technology beds into the process for a number of months. So we are quite different, but it is based on all aspects of it, really, in that we're not saying we need to find the next thing in AI and hope it works in a business. We just wouldn't do that. We'd base it on results and real ROI for the other customers.
Mm. And so is your objective that you invest in a portfolio of these companies that all complement each other, minority stakes or majority stakes, and then exit the whole group at the same time? Or is it going to be kind of an ongoing?
I think it'll be ongoing. So I think we don't want to be a majority shareholder. We've got enough businesses of our own. We want the founders to be in full control, but equally, we want the reasonable shareholding so that we can make a return on the funds that we put in. So typically we're looking for risk adjusted returns of 10 times.
you know, within a reasonable time period of 3 to 5 years. But within that, you know, we do book monthly board meetings for each of our subsidiary businesses, and we'd expect the same on businesses we invest in. So we wouldn't, you know, we're there to help. We're there to help develop a business plan and open people's eyes as to what is possible with the cash that we could invest. But what we'd have to, you know, that cash would have to be earmarked on value enhancing activities to allow them to get from A to B.
Okay. And so what are the biggest challenges that you find your portfolio companies having, either your portfolio companies or other companies that you find that you decide not to invest in?
I think it's really hard to get consensus within a group because, you know, I might think there's something, there's really cool technology here that could make a difference. And then our chief technology officer might say, actually, Mike, that doesn't work technically, or that doesn't fit within our technological architecture. Then the operator might say, it's clunky, or what you get a lot in automotive is the average dealer has over 28 different systems. So we work with 13 different brands. Those brands have different systems. You then have dealer management systems that sit on top. You then have internal projects where we've got our own technology and we want to retain our own IP. So to get something that integrates with everything and then keeps everybody happy is really tough.
Mm. Yeah. And what are you looking for besides the business model in let's say the founder or the team that makes it attractive or unattractive?
Yeah.
For you as an investment committee?
Well, you know, obviously we're there to focus on returns, and then we're there to validate our investment thesis. And we know that you can put a thesis together, and particularly in a sector like automotive, the change is rapid at the moment and things change beyond your expectations. So, you know, we're focused on the returns, but then the fit. Can we work with people who can stand the rigor? You know, working with operators, etc., and then have the mindset to adapt and change in a fast moving industry.
Yeah, fair enough. That's really interesting. And so with the businesses that you're working with, are they typically established and already making revenue, or are they pre-revenue, or kind of what state of that?
So we work with a number of businesses, and actually we do some advisory work within the fund as well. So a lot of these businesses are probably a little bit too big for us to invest in. But they might want some help with M&A, for example. They might want some help with a 5-year plan and how would we validate that. So, you know, we work with a number of businesses that sometimes are interested in the sweat equity part. And they don't need the capital, and that's fine as well. In that, you know, because it enlarges our ecosystem and their ecosystem, and so it is very entrepreneurial. It is based on a number of unique individuals, myself included. So it's people we feel that we can work with for the longer term.
Yeah, and what do you spend your day today doing?
So it's funny, probably the back end of the month, there's a lot of board meetings. And then the front end of the month is probably meeting new prospects, doing, you know, your desktop work, your strategic plans, etc. So no week's the same. We go to a lot of industry events as well. That is, I think I was saying to you before, you know, we travel a fair bit because I like to see founders on their own patch as opposed to, you know, them coming to us. I think it's important that we see their businesses and their operations and their environments and where they're for them as opposed to the other way around. We love founders coming to our sites as well. They show we've got some great facilities that you know we love to show them. But yeah, I prefer to prefer to wear out the shoe leather and see people on their own patch.
Sounds good. So the investment committee that you're part of, how is that structured? And then what's the process of a new opportunity coming in and then that making its way through the process and then ultimately reaching a decision about whether to move forward or not?
Yeah, so I probably had initial conversations with about 700 businesses. The investment committee is myself, our chairman and CEO, our group CFO, the original FD, and then our two non-execs, the legal partner and the guy with his own PE fund. And they were the two original non-execs in the group. And we've also got our group MD, who's very operational within the business. So what we tend to do is for me to advance any opportunities, we need operational sponsorship. So it would be myself, our group MD, our group CTO, and our group business development manager will sit down and discuss whether, you know, can we implement this in the group? What are the things to look for? And then if we secure the operational sponsorship, then it becomes a live opportunity for the investment committee to appraise.
I see. And then that's, an hour-long meeting or whatever. You go through a series of investments and then make a decision there and then as a group?
No, I mean, it's not like that. It's not like Dragon's Den at all. It is, we've got a number of companies on our radar. We're monitoring to see how the technology is working within the group. We're constantly getting operational feedback on whether that's good. We're seeing how they're responsive. And then we will, keep the investment committee informed on that so that we'd never do something where they haven't heard of anything for the first time and then put some money into it. They all know all of these businesses and they can track how those businesses have been performing within our business. So it is it's slow, it's methodical, but I think that we believe that's where we'll get the returns based on that approach.
Yeah. And what's the long-term vision with the fund?
I think the long-term is, back in 7 to 10 companies, finding those returns, making a real difference, continuing with the advisory work that we want to. And then I think once we've proven that concept, then this is a fair bit away, but are there any other financial partners that, like what we're doing and, want to support us and grow a team, etc. But at the moment, it is about proving that concept. It is, we believe that the sector's at an interesting point now in terms of century-long times of change, and there's a lot to do there. But equally, we'll do it our own way. So, the first year we felt valuations were very high coming off that kind of 2022-2023, a lot of fundraising. So actually this year we've been conservative because we can see the fundamentals in the automotive industry. And we see that through our own subsidiary businesses. And we felt that valuations had come down, but business plans might not have been that realistic. That's why we've been quite conservative. But we're not in a rush to do this. We want to get it right.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. And so for anyone who's listening to this, who is the kind of profile of person who should reach out to you, get in touch if they're interested in having a chat?
Look, I mean, I think anyone in automotive, I mean, it's always two ways, right? You learn off other people as well. So, obviously, we're keen to talk to founders. Anybody that you know, any people in the automotive industry that might, you know, feel that we could benefit them from an advisory perspective, or advisors are always interesting people to talk to, because they've done the last deal on something, and as always. So I think any stakeholder in the automotive industry, they feel that there's a way to work together, then I'm always happy to have a chat.
Good. Well, Mike, thank you very much for being a guest. We'll make it very easy for anyone to get in touch with you if they want to. But yeah, wishing you all the best with the growth of the fund.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co, and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.